When you hear people say, "I'm a homemaker," what comes to mind? How about falling into line of typical domestic roles of stay-at-home mom and housewife? Or keeping the home in order and having lunch bags packed and dinner ready by 6? Or maybe the criticism that homemakers receive because they fail to contribute to the world problems that are bigger than their family. Saying stuff like, "Oh, she's capable of so much more, she is substandard to the working woman," leaving many feeling underappreciated and unworthy. And what about the working woman? The ones who invest in their careers and climb the ranks to achieve the pinnacle of success, but at what cost? Receiving criticism that she has stepped away from traditional values of family and homemaking? Why do so many women feel that it is impossible to do both? That it is a catch-22? I am determined to redefine what it means to be a homemaker. That maybe it goes past the physical task of keeping up with the home and requires more of interactions and investment in the people we love and care for. Join me in redefining, redoing, and rediscovering the balance of being a homemaker in today's world. I am Bree, and this is my podcast. Hey, y'all. So we are back on the I Am Bree podcast show, where we are continuing the unconventional homemaker series. And I am so excited to bring to you guys a very special guest to the podcast show today. I found her on Instagram. She is a single mother. And without further ado, I just want to introduce to you guys the Kaywanda Lamb, aka the Winning Single Mom, where she is an author, speaker, and a coach to ambitious moms and women out there. So Kaywanda, go ahead and say hi to everybody.
Hey, y'all. Thanks so much, Bree, for having me. It's so funny. I'm like, yeah, I have like a lot that I do. She's like, okay, author, speaker, coach, the winning single mom. Yes, yes, yes. Because listen, if we're going to do the single mom thing, sis, we may as well be winning. So thanks for having me.
For sure. For sure. Yes, there is so... Just in hearing about you and just the times that we've been able to talk, especially planning this particular episode, I just am fascinated by all the different parts of who you are as a woman, as a mom, as a business owner. And I just think that especially for this particular episode, which is about single motherhood and being a homemaker, just the mere fact that you are just able to balance all those roles that you play in your life is definitely inspirational and empowering and encouraging. And again, I am so glad to have you on the podcast show today.
Thank you.
So, like I said, this is an episode about unconventional homemakers. And I put unconventional in quotes because I am a firm believer that just as we as human beings are very different and unique, it is only expected that families share that uniqueness and that individuality. And so this is just an opportunity to just think outside of the box and open up our minds to homemakers that may not look like your traditional mom, dad, bio kids, all of that. This is really just embracing the beauty and individuality of homemaking for just the many different types of families that are out there, and to encourage people that you can be successful homemakers in whatever home and family setup that you have. And so this particular episode is just embracing and giving single mothers the platform to really just share how you can be successful and you can be successful homemakers regardless of your situation. And so without further ado, I kind of wanted to just sort of take this as an opportunity to just have you share your family dynamic or just how you guys came to be.
Well, as I said earlier, I'm a single mother. And even though my boys are young adults now, I still say single mother because I'm still parenting these young adults, right? They still live with me. But anyway, so I started out, you know, good girl, went off to college and made it out with my virginity intact. And I happened to meet this guy junior, senior year, and I got pregnant. And I was supposed to, you know, get married when I was 30, have my first baby after I'd lived and traveled the world and, you know, climbed the corporate ladder. That was my plan. And so, you know, I still at that point was expecting, you know, their dad and I to get married. Didn't expect to have a second baby. You know, 2 years later, I did. And, you know, I'm grateful. But at the same time, it was just a lot of unexpected, you know, a lot of firsts. And so we have the babies. I'm thinking, hey, I graduated college. He's still in school. He's going to go pro in football and we're going to have this amazing life. And then I start finding out about these other women and other things. And when I was pregnant with the second baby, we broke up when I was 2 months pregnant. And, you know, it was like, hey, you know, lots of things to process and to absorb. And of course, we did the back and forth, tried to, you know, I did a lot of forgiving, you know, and trying to make things work. And eventually it just wasn't going to happen because I found out a lot of stuff. So I won't go into all of that here. But I will tell you that I knew I loved my babies. I wanted them to have a good life. I wanted them to grow up to be good men. And I wanted us to thrive, you know. And so I was making $26,000 when I left my corporate job to become a teacher to make $32,000. Now, this was 15 years ago, but and times have changed. And thank God the pay has gone up over the years, right? But, you know, I did a lot of raising my boys by myself. And their dad, you know, started out looking like he was going to be the perfect dad and always involved. And then, you know, he wasn't. And so his parents were really involved. And then his mom passed away and just everything shifted. And so I raised them by myself all these years. And their dad has seen them three times since 2006. And that was a lot to, you know, process. But I wanted to make sure my boys knew that they were loved. And so if he wasn't going to, you know, be able to show up and be the parent that he needed to be, I was going to, you know, put good men around my boys, good men and women around my boys. And that's what I did. And by the grace of God, we've been able to thrive and survive. And, you know, that's part of how I started blogging. You know, people just kept asking me, like, you're a single mom. Oh, my gosh. Like, you're happier than I am. You're enjoying your life more than I am. And I'm married and or your kids are well behaved. And how do you do that? And it's just you. And, you know, just things people were saying. And I was just like, because I love them and this is what you do. Like, you make it happen. You do what you got to do. And, you know, come to find out there were some things that I had learned, you know, some ways that I had processed information and some decisions that I had made that I could teach other people how to do, you know. And I decided to write a book in 2015. Well, no, I published it at the end of 2015. I decided to write it in 2014. It took me a year and a half to get it done. And it's just been the most transformational book ever. It's called Do It Anyway, The Single Mom's Guide to Living Life and Achieving Her Goals. So sorry for the long diatribe here, guys, but that's the start to my story. Good girl, got pregnant unexpectedly, had to deal with a whole bunch of, you know, mom guilt, shame about that. And then finally, I rejected all of that from people. I was like, I'm a good person. I'm a good mother. My babies are blessed. God loves us. We're not worried about what you thought my life should look like. This is what it is, and I'm going to make the best of it. So I hope that's a word for somebody that's listening. So unconventional homemakers, listen, you may not start out the way you want, but you can make your life and your home and your house the way that you want it to be, you know? So.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. Just in listening to you, I'm like just going in so many different directions as far as just, you know, oh, we need to talk about that and we need to talk about that. It's just like you just dropped so many pearls of wisdom, because again, I think a lot of times you know, we go based off of what, you know, society expects of us. And I know that you kind of tapped into it just a little bit as far as, you know, you definitely didn't plan to be a single mother. And, you know, as far as like just the pressures of when you did have your kids with their father and trying to make that relationship work. And so kind of tell us a little bit more about that and how, even though you tried to make it work, just realizing that in relationships, it's a two-way street. And if the other person is not able to meet you halfway or to try to make the relationship work where both individuals in the relationship are feeling respected and are feeling like they have a loyal partner to rely on, like, kind of tell us a little bit about how you wrapped your mind around the reality that you had with their father and how you were able to just sort of push through and be like, hey, if this is not going to work, I don't care what society is saying. If I should be making it work as a Christian woman, whatever, this is what I'm going to do. Kind of just talk to us a little bit about how you were able to overcome that.
Yeah. So I'm really, really big on my faith. So, you know, that's why I was, you know, abstinent all the way to 21. Right. And, you know, I was just sitting up saying to people, I was like, but God doesn't make me feel guilty. God is forgiving. God is loving me. So why am I, you know, having these conversations with my mom and my grandmother who are fussing at me and upset? And I'm like, so, you know, I'm an adult. I have a job. I have a car. I have my apartment. You guys aren't taking care of me. Like, I'm going to make sure this baby's good. Girl, and the baby came, first of all, these people had my child all the time. Like, they totally loved these boys and were crazy about them and totally forgot about how mad at me they were. But in that early stage, I was going through that. I was, you know, thinking I'm in love with their dad. And then to get to the point of where it's like he rejected me and walked away from me and walked away from these boys, it was a lot to process. And my heart was broken. You know, all these years later, I'm just like, girl, please, I don't want this man. Okay, who is this man? I don't know this man. You know, you know, this is where I am now. But in those early years, the way that I made it through it was leaning on my faith, talking to God, you know, because you can almost lose your mind when you think this person did this to me on purpose. They planned this, you know, all the things that go through your head, right? He knew I was a virgin. Everybody, you know, was trying to talk to me and I didn't want to talk to anybody. And, you know, and then I'd lose my virginity to him, you know. And it's just like, people aren't that smart. They aren't that bright. They aren't that smart. But this is what it is. And so I was able to walk through that thing by looking at, okay, my grandmother saying, hey, if he'll marry you, marry him. And he's saying, of course we're going to get married, you know? And I'm looking like, I don't know you as well as I would like to know somebody that I should be saying yes to. So I want to see that you can be faithful. You can be loyal. You're going to help me with the kids. You're going to, you know, do this and do that. And then again, all these stories are still coming out. So I had to sit back and say, what is this man showing me in reality? Not what he's telling me when he's making love to me in the middle of the night. You know what I mean? Not what his smooth talking ways are saying. But then I got 7 women in my inbox. Okay. Cause you know, we didn't have cell phones, like talking about it. We had them, but they didn't have all the bells and whistles we have now. So folks were emailing me and my Yahoo girl talking drama. And, you know, I'm just like dealing with all this and I'm still working. I'm still showing up 100% in every area of my life that I possibly can as this strong Black woman. And finally, I just said, okay, God, I need you to help me through this. I need you to help me to make this decision. And I wish I could tell you it was me being powerful and me being grown. But I simply had to say, I have to go by what I see in reality, not by potential, not by possibility, not by even what my heart says. Because the Bible says, you know, our hearts are deceitfully wicked. He said, you know, who can know it, right? Only God can know it, right? And so I have to go by what I see in reality. I can't go by what my heart wants. I have to go by what my mind knows. And if something changes, if he, you know, comes in a year from now, is this amazing human being that wants to make this work and wants to be good to me, then sure. But I have to say, what did you say you wanted, Kaywanda? You said you wanted a good man. You said you wanted a good life, right? You don't want somebody that you're constantly worrying about, is this person lying to me? Is this person cheating on me? You know, is this person going to be the person that tells me everything that I want to hear, but doesn't help at home, doesn't help to raise the babies? I do everything, but oh, I'm married. You know, I don't want that. And that's what I saw when I looked at a lot of women who were in the previous generation who were around me. Like, they were married, and for some reason, to them, that meant something. That doesn't mean anything to me. It means nothing. To have your name and you're not good to me, to have your name and you're embarrassing me in the streets, please, I would rather be by myself. So I had to say to myself, what do you want, Kaywanda? And is this really giving you what you want? And even though it hurts, even though it's going to be different, even though it means that, you know, this person isn't going to be in the home with the kids, you have to then say, you're willing to take up that slack. You're willing to do what it takes. And I will tell you, it was by prayer, because I did lots of pleading with this dude, lots of conversations, lots of talking. And he told me to my face that these women were lying. And then after all the stuff came out, he tells me to my face, these women are not lying.
So, oh God!
And then lots of other things that he said to me that were really ugly. And I said, I've literally in no way done anything to this man for him to say this to me, for me to lose my virginity to him, for all of this to happen like this. And so if that doesn't encourage you to move on, to move forward, to let go, you know, I don't know what will, but there are some women who hold on and hang on. I was literally talking to a woman today in my DMs before we started recording. And she was like, she's afraid to be a single mom again. And what she listed about how, you know, the marriage relationship that she's in. And I was like, sis, you deserve good love. You deserve to be treated well, to be respected, to be supported, you know, and I'm not going to tell her business, but it was some of the most simple things she was asking her husband to do. And he wouldn't do it. And I said, you have to understand that being single and being a single mom are stages. And at any point in time that we want to change that title, we can change it. I could have said yes to many men. I've met some really good men along the way, some really decent people. And then I've met some folks that reminded me of my ex. And I was like, oh, don't want that, you know. And so what I say to anyone who's in this position, who's thinking about, I would rather become one with somebody else so that it's two of us, just so that you can avoid being a single parent because of what other people are saying or society or people's looks. Don't go choosing folks just to be in a relationship. You have to choose somebody who really has your heart, who wants to protect you. And that we only know by dating, getting to know them, watching them walk out, you know, who they say they are in real life. I had to look at what this man told me, who he was, by his actions, by his words. And I have no regrets for raising my boys by myself. Would I have loved to have co-parented? Yes, it would have been great if he would at least been able to do that. But I had to say to myself, is the thing he's doing to me right now, what I want him to teach my boys is okay? And the answer was absolutely not. So I'm sorry, guys, there wasn't a short answer to that.
But no,
some background, like, this is how you choose to walk away. This is how you choose to say no more. This is how you choose. You have to go by what you see in reality. You have to say, what is it lining up? Brie, if it's not lining up, sis, I'd rather take my chances on myself.
Right. No, I completely agree. And I think you brought up a point with the client that you were working with and how, you know, just the fear of being a parent by yourself and being a single mom. And it's one of those things where, you know, I am blessed to not be in that situation, but I'm not oblivious to the fact that there are other women out there who do share and have that experience. And it's one of those things where it's just like, why is that? Like, why is it a fear for single motherhood? Because I promise you that it's a different narrative for single fathers. It's a very different narrative.
Every day. That's why we don't hear people say I'm a single father. Like, single dudes are out here all the time with kids and they just say they're single, and women are just at their feet, just fawning to marry them, fawning to help them raise the babies, fawning to be with them. You know what I mean? But guys don't line up like that for us because some, you know why? Sorry to cut you off. You see, I'm passionate about it.
No. Please share.
Because people have lied to them about, you have to be that kid's, oh, she's a single mom. Oh, are you ready to be somebody else's dad? But we women who marry men who have children, we don't think like that. We love those babies. We treat those babies right. We support the man that we're marrying, and we, you know, help to take care of those kids. And it's just so freaking annoying and aggravating to me that single mothers have been put into this box by society. And I think men do themselves a disservice when they don't actually look at a woman deeper and further. Because you know what, honey, listen, I know how to run a whole house. I know how to run a whole business. I know how to run a whole family. When I tell you, whoever is lucky enough to marry me is going to be beyond blessed. And it's just so funny that people look past women, because we've had to learn to do so many things. And we've had to overcome adversity and challenges that, oh my God, like, these men are really missing out. So it's just so funny. I remember when I was young, I was getting back into dating, and I was a young single mom. I was still in my 20s, and I was living in Louisiana, and I had gone out with my cousins, and I met this dude who was just fawning over me. You know, he was just, oh my God, Kaywanda, oh my God, Kaywanda. It was just so funny. And we had made plans to go out the next day, and when he called, I was like, oh, let me get a babysitter. And he was like, what? Let me call you back. Girl, I never heard from him again. And I just cracked up laughing. I told my cousins, I was like, he was fine and all, but I didn't need him to be my kid's dad. I was like, it was a date. We were going to go on a date. And so that's my only time I've ever been like ghosted. It's just so funny.
Oh, wow.
But you know, when I tell you I was fine, honey, girl, listen. Your girl was fabulous in them 20s, honey. She still got it now, but I'm just trying to...
I was about to I'm say, just, girl, I've seen your Instagram. I have seen your Instagram. You need to give yourself some more credit.
I'm just trying to say, brother man really missed out, okay? And I just cracked up laughing. And it's just so... It's downright disrespectful to look at another human being and say you're not worthy of love because somebody that you didn't expect to leave you to raise a family by yourself has left you to do it all. I mean, I think it's downright disrespectful, but it takes a man who's really in his manhood, who understands this, right? And who also understands the things that a woman brings to his life, who's truly ready for that. And so it's good for those men to walk away who are just out here trying to be players, right? It's good for those kinds of guys to bypass you, but it is aggravating. So back to your point, single men don't have those issues because we are nurturing, we're givers, we're overcomers, we're women who just love, right? And we've been conditioned to want to marry, to want to connect, to want to build, and to give the benefit of the doubt. Whereas boys and men have been conditioned to, oh, don't marry a woman who already has kids. Don't get with that woman who are somebody else's kids. You know, they're hearing this from other men. And I think, too, that short-sightedness is keeping a lot of people from finding really great people. So if there's a woman that you like, she happens to have children by somebody else, get to know that woman. There's a man that you like. You know, I don't have to tell ladies this because she's already going to go for the gusto, right? But I think that the amount of women out here being single mothers and, you know, handling both jobs and doing what we can do would be a blessing to a man. And we do put our children first. And I don't have men around my boys. Like, now that they're older, there's a guy that I've been seeing, you know, I've introduced them to him, right? I was recently on like Good Morning America earlier this year in like a dating situation. And, you know, my boys laughed and cracked up with me about it and all this stuff. So we can have different conversations now that they're older. But I didn't bring guys around them when I was out, you know, younger and dating and they were younger. And I think men need to understand that, like, you're not going to meet my kids. You're not going to be their stepdad tomorrow. Like, you have to get past me. Like, I have to vet you to make sure you're good enough for me and for my kids. So I just think it's so funny that men will look past a woman, and guess what? They're creating this large number of single mothers. You know what I mean? Like, they're creating, but then they don't want to be. Like, I look at my kid's dad, like, he made a family, then he left that family. But then he went and married another woman that had a child, and then he, you know, had a child with her. You get what I'm saying? It's just crazy to me.
You know, and it's one of those things you kind of tapped into, and they kind of got me in this train of thought where it's just like, okay, for why it is difficult for, you know, single mothers to sort of date and find a man who is willing to look past the fact that she has children with somebody else, but is not with that other person in a romantic setting. It's just one of those things where it just gets me to thinking that if we can look past a person's past and our perspective of them is not a perspective of, oh, you have kids with another person. Like, the whole thing that you were talking about is just like, you don't want to be a dad to somebody else's kids. And it's just like, why are we looking at it from that perspective? Because it's not a matter of you have to be the kid's father or whatever, but it's a matter of like, that is a part of that woman's past, that woman's mm-hmm. history. And she's more than that. It's
one and of a beautiful part. These are human beings, girl.
Yes. So it's just one of those things where it's just like, it's definitely, you know, just challenging the men out there. Because one thing that I talk about on my podcast show is redefining, redoing, and rediscovering mm-hmm. homemaking. And, you know, when it comes to single mothers, it's more than just like, if you can just look past the, this is not your biological kid. Okay, if you can just look past that, and it's like there's so much more that can come out of a home that you and a single mother could create together. A couple weeks ago, I interviewed a stepmom coach, and she is a part of a blended family, and it's just like, it's a beautiful, they were able to create something completely beautiful, and it's okay that the biological children were not hers. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's just like, it's one of those things where it's just like, if we can just challenge what we initially thought of the idea of blended family, especially for, you know, for the men out there who are dating. And if you find a single mom, again, just challenging the perspective that they walk into the relationship with and realizing that, hey, blended families are also beautiful and also thriving. And there can be really genuine and beautiful relationships that can come from step parents to stepchildren. You know what I mean? And it's just like, if we can just challenge that idea, oh my gosh, you know what? That's one problem that we fixed in the world, Kaywanda.
Yay! And you're awesome. And I love this. And I have a friend. I wonder if my friend, did you talk to Naja Hall? Because if not, I got to connect you with her. She does Blended in Black, and she's fabulous. And when you talked about a stepmom coach, she works with both parents. She does a lot of co-parenting. And she's a single, she doesn't have any children of her own with her husband yet. But her husband has two children that he co-parents with his ex. And there was confusion and just drama and all kinds of stuff they went through for years. And we met and I talked to her and she was just like, my husband cried because he got to see his kids. He hadn't been able to see his children. They had been going back and forth. And, you know, so there are challenges when people get into blended situations. I'm not saying it's perfect, but I am saying that you're missing out on some really good human beings. And to the point of with my kid's dad, again, I am happy for him. I do not want to be with a man. I'm so glad that he isn't the one that was for me. But I have looked across, especially our African-American community, although this happens in every community under the sun, where people build families and then they leave them. And it's so much easier to walk away because they don't have conflict management skills, right? And they'd rather walk away and build something with somebody else. They can go lie to this person. They can go be something somebody else to this person. They can start fresh with this person. And it's not fair to the people that are left behind holding the bag, as they would say. And we don't have to make families. We don't have to give people babies. You know, it's possible to have sex without that. You know what I mean? And I'm sitting here like, for sure. You know, I was a virgin, so I don't know what I'm doing. So what are you doing? And okay. But I'm so grateful to have my boys. If I could just, I just cannot explain how, what a blessing they have been to me. It has been challenging. Yes, I've had my moments where I just prayed for a weekend to myself, prayed for some moments to myself. And then I stopped doing that and I started making the time, making the moments, creating ways, befriending folks that I trusted and loved and allowing them to help support me and I support them. And, you know, so I talk about all this in the first book about how do you, you know, get a handle on single parenting? How do you create a life you love? How do you do it anyway? How do you do it despite the challenges, despite the all of it, you know? And I truly hope that if there are some single parents that are listening to this podcast, that they definitely pick the book up, they, you know, reach out and connect. I'm over at kwandalam.com. You can find loads of blog posts, things that I've written about over the years, especially dealing with this. I have a post that says, don't date dudes that don't take care of their kids. Like, seriously, we'd stop a lot of this, I think, if women stop for a second and say, oh, you have kids? Well, you know, are you involved in their lives? Do you support them financially? Do you see them? You know, because why are we rewarding men with our bodies, our love, our time, our support, right? Another human. If they're not taking care of the humans they have before, but you know, women don't pause to do that. They don't pause. And I really wish folks would, because I had to look at my little boys for years as they would have bring daddy to school day and donuts with dad and all that. And my boys would be like, who's going to be with us today? And I'm a teacher. My kids always went to school where I taught. And I'm like, I can't go because I have to work. And luckily, God always gave me people and friends who would be like, I'm going to school to be with the girls today. So I'm going to also have the boys sit with me. You know, I could just cry right now. I'm going to definitely message some friends after this and be like, thank you. You know?
Yes. No, most definitely. Most definitely. And I think it's, you know, one thing that you brought up is you talk about your book and again, your whole brand about the winning single mom and how, because a lot of times I'm pretty sure that a lot of times women do not approach family building as I am going to grow up and I'm going to be a single mom. Like, I'm pretty sure that's not how people approach it. And so again, it's one of those things where it's just like when life happens, especially with relationships, because they are beautiful, but it is also, you know, it is very risky because that's putting somebody else, like bringing another person and creating something, and you can't control, regardless, women, however hard we try, we cannot control men, we cannot control our partners. They are their own person, they have their own thoughts, they are in charge and responsible for their own actions. And again, you know, when it comes to like, you know, single motherhood, you know, it's one of those things where I kind of picture it and imagine it as, you know, this is like when life happens, you know what I mean? When you can't control the other person, but you are taking a step and what you shared, you taking the step in, you know what? I value myself more. I know the type of men, because you have two boys, I know the type of men that I need to raise. And I can try as hard as I can. You know what I mean? I can be committed to trying to make this relationship work. But if the other person and your partner is not willing to put forth the effort to make themselves better and to make the relationship better, it's one of those things where it's just like, it is better to just go your separate ways. Let that partner live their life. You live your life. And again, you know, you just share how you were determined that even though you decided for you and your family and your children that you were going to step away from this relationship to raise the family how you see fit and what is going to bring about loving, respectable men for the next generation to be like, here, find yourself a good spouse. But it's just one of those things where you were still able to just enjoy yourself and have pride in yourself, and you still pursue your dreams and your aspirations, even though life kind of threw at you that, you know, single motherhood. And I'm sure that you talk about this in your book, but can you kind of give us a little bit of sort of the tips that you would give single moms to just sort of embrace that sort of mentality and mindset so that they are having being a winning single mom?
Yes. Real quick to preface this, I was, you know, living in Texas at this point, and I was listening to a well-known psychologist. She had a radio show, and she said that all women should raise their babies until they're 18 and not even think about getting married. And I looked and I was like, I'm young, fabulous, gorgeous, and ready to date. I know she did not say, I gotta wait how many more years before my boys are 18 to date. And that was one of the things that got me to thinking like, yeah, I've got to be able to organize my life to the point where I can take care of work, take care of home, take care of my babies, make sure they feel loved, supported, but I can also feed me. Because what happens is we become very grumpy people. We regret it. We resent it, you know, having to be the only one sometimes. I know there are some women out there right now who feel like this, right? I guarantee you they are. They're just like, oh, I'm so glad you said it, Kaywanda. And we don't want to feel like that. What we do is we want to take back our power and recognize that we do have choice and that we don't have have to live by society's rules that say we have to be good little perfect women who, you know, raise our children, give them all the love in the world. Because let me tell y'all, let me let you in on a little secret. Our kids want a break from us too. They want to see us happy. They want to see us go out and live and have joy. They want to hang out with their friends. They want to, you know, have that friend time that they get to have when somebody else is watching them and that we vetted, that we trust, and all is well, right? And they need those moments too. They don't want to just be up under us. And so to be a winning single mom, what I tell women is that you first have to go through your healing process and you need to figure out what your purpose is. Once you figure out what your purpose is, why you're here, why we're here isn't just to be good parents. Why we're here isn't just the thing that we do in our daily job, right? Like for me, I truly know that my purpose is to shift women in the earth. It really is. And I've chosen to focus on single mothers because I'm a single mother and we're one of the groups that people tend to leave out or lump in when we have like women's conferences. But I, you know, have spoken at churches and you know, speak on this. And I talk to folks about, you can't just lump us all in, right? Because the married woman has needs, the single mother has needs, right? And then the single woman has needs. And I know that I am supposed to speak and teach and, you know, share the love of God, share what I've learned, share this wisdom, share this light, share the fact that it's not over when we make mistakes. And that we can choose any day to build a life that we love. And so go through your healing processes, get over the hate that you may have for the guy who left and isn't helping you, the shame that you may feel for how did you get here? I've been there. I had to go through all of this. And if you're, you know, I'm a woman of faith. If you're not, whatever you believe in, God bless you. But go through your healing process. Figure out what your purpose is, because that's going to be what wakes you up, that keeps you excited, that makes you alive. And then find your people. I would love to tell you that I've done all this all by myself all these years, but I've been very lucky to be a good friend to people. And therefore, I'm able to make really good friends who are good to me. And I've had married friends who've been some of the best folks in my life that have supported me and my boys, and I would watch their kids for them. They would watch my kids for me. We would have, you know, over each other's houses every Friday and just building a life full of friendships and having people to talk to when I had challenges. And I'm blessed to say that I'm friends with those people, you know, almost two decades later, and our kids have grown up together, right? And so there's more that I talk about in the book, but those are the first three chapters of the book. And so heal, find your why is what I call it. And then find your tribe, which is finding your people. So it's available at my website, kwandalam.com, and also on Amazon. And I'm telling you, if you get this book and you read it and you follow the steps, it's going to change your life.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh my goodness. Yes. Because it's just one of those things where it's just like, you just remind me, especially with, you know, just finding your tribe. It just reminds me of the universal saying of, you know, it takes a village. Like, I can just imagine how applicable it is for the single mother, but it's not even just a single mother. It is just for everyone in general. We are not meant to do life alone. You know what I mean? Like, we are not, like, even with families, like, families need support as well. Parents need support, kids need support. And it's just one of those things where it's just like really just embracing the idea of, you know, finding your tribe, finding the people. Because again, with my particular brand, I focus on, as far as being a successful homemaker, there's four relationships that you really, really need to focus on. And you kind of tapped into a couple of them. I talk about your relationship with self, which is, you know, where you were talking about just healing and finding your why. And then your relationship with your partner or your significant other. And, you know, if you need to heal from the disappointment that a partner did to you, like that's part of it as well. And then your relationship with your kids and your relationship with your home. And really it's what you talk about your tribe. Like we really need to focus on those relationships and healing from those relationships and getting our support and our energy to keep going in life from other people. Cause we can't do absolutely this by not ourselves. So it's just one of those. So it's just, yes, it's just crazy. And I also wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, you were kind of sharing about, you know, healing and finding your why. And it also had me going on another train of thought about just being able to really see yourself as more than just
a mom.
And I can't believe that you said it was a psychologist or whatever.
Her name was Dr. Was it Dr. Laura? Dr. Laura. Yeah, you may have heard of her. Psychologist, psychiatrist, something, doctor something. And I would listen to her every day on Christian Talk Radio. And she always had some really good points. But when she talked about that, I was like, sis, push back. You know, because I think like maybe it happened in her life, or maybe I think honestly she was married and had been married forever. And I don't think that was her situation, but that's what she advised a woman who called in who had gone through divorce and her children were younger. And she really told this woman to wait until kids were 18. And I understand there's a fear of you pick the wrong partner, that partner might do something terrible to your children or this or that, which is why I talk to women about y'all need to stop being out here just desperate to be in a relationship with anybody, that you pick these people who, you know, and you haven't watched and paid attention to the red flags. And then I don't care who you are and how much you love me, you are not bathing my daughter. You are not being at home alone with my, you know, kids just like that. You know, I mean, we have to go through seasons, especially if they're not your biological. And so, and I'm not saying to be like that all the time, but I get why she said it, right? But then everybody isn't like that, you know? And if we have that fear, we'll never date again, right? And so she literally said that. She said that to protect the women and have the women protect their kids. But I think there's a way for us to vet and protect our children without us having to, like, not have a partner for 10 years, 15 years. You get what I'm saying?
Right. And it's one of those things where it also, because here's my thing. There's so much gray area. Even when you give that statement that this is the advice that she gave, I'm with you. I can see where that can come into play. But that doesn't need to be a generalized rule or statement. It's really looking at your particular circumstance, because it could be, it's just like, you know what, getting a divorce, leaving a relationship, especially if you have kids involved, that is a very traumatic thing. And it takes time to heal from that. So it's just like, okay, you might need some time to heal. But there are some people who are like, you know what, I'm good. I can compartmentalize. I can see that, you know what, I tried to make that relationship work and it just wasn't working. So releasing that relationship, releasing that person to make their own decisions, and you make your own decisions with regards to how the family is going to move forward. There are some people that are further along in their healing process. So that generalized rule, I'm sure that there's a lot of single mothers who would be like, man, like, I have to wait until, you know, my kids are 18 to start dating. And then it's just like, then you kind of get into that mentality of like, that's all that you've done for your entire, like, you have always been a servant to your children. Yes. You know what I mean? And it's just like, when do you put yourself first? You know what I mean? Because it's okay. And that's what I talk about in my brand about, you know, your relationship with self. Like, you have to love yourself. And if you love yourself, if you appreciate yourself, if you go after what you want and what you aspire to, guess what? That energy, that mindset, that light is going to overflow into your relationship with your kids and your kids being able to see a thriving mom that they'll be able to remember.
Yes, and identify. I love with. It. You know and what I mean? You know, so funny. My oldest became an entrepreneur when he graduated high school, and I was so upset because we were prepping him to be an investment banker. And that's what he said he wanted to be for the previous 3 years. And I was making it happen. Right. And I was so mad. And I was like, why does he want to go to college? This is the easy way. It's a great layup. You know, you've been an amazing wrestler and football player. School's going to be paid for. Let's go. Let's get it paid for. You got this education to fall back on. He didn't want to do it. And we struggled with that. You know, I struggled with that. And to see him now today, he has a thriving business. He is a certified notary. He's working on, he loves money. Okay. My kid wants to have his own coins. I love it. And he doesn't mind doing the work. So he has his own company that he established. And I'm trying to show him how to build a team and, you know, expand it. And he's working on doing insurance adjuster work. And he also, you know, is in real estate. So he has these buckets that he works in that he's passionate about, that he's learning. and that he wants to dominate. And he's doing all that because he's seen me do multiple things and utilize my gifts and my skills. You know what I mean? So I'm the winning single mom. I wrote books about being an amazing single mother. I started a blog about how to, you know, love yourself, raise your babies, have a good life, you know, even while you're a single mom. And, you know, I work with clients to teach them how to build businesses. And, you know, and then I don't stop there. I start a brand teaching people Spanish. And I'm like, why does he have three things? And then I'm like, oh, it's because he's seen his mom.
Right. And it's one of those things where, again, it's like you modeled that. You know what I mean? Because imagine if, you know, again, and you never know somebody's circumstances. Again, you always, with any advice that you give, you always have to take it with a grain of salt. And you always have to look at that advice from a critical lens to see if that fits for you, for the things that have happened in your life or the circumstances that you find yourself in. So again, even to everybody who's listening, still take everything that you hear from this episode with, you know, and look at it from a critical lens to see if it really works for you. But it's one of those things where it's just like, imagine if you did have a mom who just devoted their time to just being a mother, making sure that, you know, again, your traditional idea of homemaking, but that mom wanted to do other things. She had other ideas for her life. And she limited herself to just the fact that I just need to be a mother first. And it's just like, it shouldn't be a, you need to be one role first. It's just like, this is just a part of your identity. Being a mom is a part of your identity. Because guess what? You did not come out of the womb as a mom.
Be clear. Like,
you had your own ideas. You had your own aspirations. And just because you are a mother now, it doesn't mean that you have to stop or those dreams and aspirations have to die until they can be resurrected 18 years later. Like, you don't have to do it. It's just a matter of, you know, juggling your time. And people like to think of it as time management. I challenge people to think of it not as time management, but time ownership, because you own your time. So just look at your schedule, see, it's just like, okay, where are my pockets of time where I can still, you know, optimize it? You know what I mean? Optimize it to keep on going after your dreams and aspirations. Because guess what? If your kids see you doing that, you are showing them great life skills that they'll be able to see firsthand. And like your son is doing right now, we're just like, where did you get the, why are you doing this? It's like, oh,
right. Oh, that is not what I meant to teach you though.
But it's one of those things where it's just like, he's seen that success in you. And so he has the confidence that he is going to be successful. And isn't it great that he is under your supervision?
And today we were talking and I was just like, wow. And I was like, okay, go get it. The sky's the limit. Go get it, you know? And I know you were tying your point into another point, but I just heard that one thing about them watching us and absorbing what they see. And that just took me off on a tangent. But yes, we have to be mindful that they see the chances we didn't take too. They see the a stuck in the relationships that aren't working. They see us being in the abusive relationships, whether it's mental, you know, emotional or physical. They see us not taking the chances because they have us. And then they wonder, are we stopping our mom from growing, from thriving? Are we stopping our mom from having good love? Are we, you know?
Yes, for sure. For sure. And I'm so glad that you just dropped all these wisdoms for our listeners, for me, because again, I think it's one of those things where what I aim to bring with this podcast series of unconventional homemakers is really just, again, one, unconventional homemakers is in quotes, because we all are unconventional homemakers, because we are all different in how we run our homes and who makes up our home, who we do life with. And then secondly, it's realizing that all these things that other families are doing is just like, oh, wow, I can incorporate that into my family. I might not be a single mom or a single dad or a blended family or all those things. My family might not look specifically like yours, but just the the lessons and the values that you instill in your family. Again, realizing that nugget of kids are going to learn from you, from verbally what you tell them, and also from what they witness and what they see you do in your life. And for single mothers, it's important for you to don't lose yourself in single motherhood. Don't fall into the trap, or not the trap, but don't fall into the limited belief that you only need to be a single mom. It's just like, no, go for what you want. Like, pursue the life that you want to live. Because guess what? You're showing your kids mm-hmm. how to be better human beings by pursuing your dreams. That is a lesson that is not just for single mothers, but for all homemakers in general. And so I so appreciate, you know, you just sharing, you know, just your, just a small part of your life experience, your experience with family, and how you truly have, you know, redefined what homemaking means for your family, for your kids, and for yourself. And I'm just so thankful that you came on this.
Thank you so much, Bree. It has been my pleasure. Oh, it was such an honor chatting with you. Like, we cover a lot of topics, but homemaking, literally, you know, I've built a life that I love. I've done all the duties of a mom and all that. And then I was able to look at my life and say, where can I carve out time for me? Where can I carve out time for my dreams? Where can I, you know, put space in there for me? Because I do not believe that we have to wait until they're adults. And my boys can tell you that. And were there times when they said, oh, you're going on a trip and you're going on a plane ride and I want to go. And, you know, and I had to say, this is just a mommy break, or this is a mommy's trip, or this or that, you know. But then also we have those me moments and we make that me time. So I just encourage you to find balance, you know, to figure out what that is for you. No one else, what works for you and your babies, and to do it.
Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe to this podcast and join me in redefining, redoing, and rediscovering the balance of being a homemaker in today's world. I invite you to follow me on Instagram at mrs.iambree. I would love to interact with you and get your thoughts on this week's episode. They say that home is where the heart is. I welcome you into my home, into my heart. Until next time.